Daniel chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Very, very interesting portion of scripture. I strongly invite you and encourage you to read this portion along with us, beginning in chapter 4 of Daniel chapter, or verse 4 of Daniel chapter 12. Daniel. Howdy. Let's pray, shall we? Father, so grateful to have this opportunity to be with your people right here in this place where we get to study your word. What a blessing. What a delight. Show us wonderful things. And you are beautiful. What you've done in our lives, Lord, is beautiful. Who you are beautiful. What you're going to do, it's all beautiful. You make beautiful things out of our lives. Bless this time by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I was researching and I noticed that it's only been a little over 50 years ago that we were all watching TV in black and white. Black and white TV. And then in the late 60s, of course, the color TV became the standard. Of course, in those days, you only had three channels, right? And you had to get up and actually turn the knob. We were such a suffering lot back then. But I remember even early as a kid, those pictures on TV being grainy, blippy, you could kind of flicker. And then came cable and digital TV and standard definition, about 450,000 pixels on your TV. Then came Blu-ray, HD, over 2 million pixels on your TV, becoming even sharper. By the way, Apple announced this last week that their iPhone 6 will have 2 million pixels on the screen. And then there's something called ultra high definition TV, which gives you 33 million pixels on your TV. Now, that's almost getting too detailed. You can see pores in people's skin at that resolution. But you notice that over time, the pictures on TV have become sharper, more defined. That same principle applies to studying Bible prophecy. The last day prophecies in the scripture become clearer, more definable with time. Now, we've been studying a lot of prophecies here on Sunday morning here in the book of Daniel. But remember that these prophecies, I mean, they're contained in a book that was written some 2,500 years ago. The Old Testament was written 2,500 to 3,500 years ago. Daniel was written in the 6th century B.C. The New Testament was written in the 1st century A.D. That's 2,000 years ago. Now, those prophecies concerning the last days when they were initially received couldn't be understood completely. You had black and white vision. But as time has progressed, as history has unfolded, these prophecies have become clear, standard deep. Standard definition, high definition. That's what we're told as the book of Daniel winds down. Look at verse 4. This isn't a phenomena that I just thought of. This is what's taught in the scripture concerning prophecy. Verse 4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel. He's been giving a very long prophetic message to Daniel that began all the way back in Daniel chapter 10. We've been studying these prophecies over the last month. And here this angel is wrapping up this prophetic message, and he tells Daniel, Daniel, I want you to be faithful to write down the words of these prophecies, which he did. We have them right here in the book of Daniel. And then the angel says, shut up those words. Seal them until the end. And the idea is, keep these words safe. Preserve these prophecies. Keep them intact until the time of the end. And the implication there is, these words recorded in the book of Daniel are important to every generation. But they will be especially important to those living at the end of time. The angel says that at the end, many shall run to and fro. That's a Hebrew idiom, which means they'll be searching through these prophecies from backwards to frontwards. And in the end, knowledge is going to increase concerning these prophecies. Daniel had very limited understanding of these prophecies when he wrote them. Look at the questions. Look at verse 5. It says, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, singular, times, plural, and half a time, half, obviously. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So this is sort of a bizarre image. Two more angels appear, one on this side of the river, one on the other side of the river. And there's this floating man above the river, who I believe is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And one of the angels asks this question, and no doubt for the benefit of Daniel. He says, all these things that we've been talking about in these prophecies, these wonders, how long shall it be until the fulfillment? And the answer is given in the middle of verse 7. For a time, times, and half a time. Time singular meaning one, times plural meaning two, and then a half. One plus two plus half. It's all going to happen in 3.5 times. Now, Daniel would hear that and go, what? But what have we learned in our study? As we've looked at the prophecies in Daniel and other, we understand that the Bible teaches that human history is going to end with 7-year tribulation period. And the middle of that 7-year tribulation period, the last 3.5 years will be that period of time where all of these wonders are taking place. The great tribulation period, from our perspective as Christians in the day in which we live, we can see that. We also know that in the great tribulation period that's coming, many Jews and believers will be slaughtered for their faith. And he says in that period at the end of verse 7, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. It'll be very tough for people of faith at the end of that great tribulation period. Daniel says in verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, look at this answer. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. In other words, Daniel, I know you've got questions. Write the words down, shut the words up, seal the book. Your understanding is going to be limited. But there's a generation that's coming upon the planet that will understand. These things will become clear. Not for the wicked. The wicked will never understand. But this whole passage teaches there is greater understanding coming for those who live closest to the fulfillment of those events. Well, we're given another prophecy in verse 11 and 12, and this is one that throws all of us as Christians for a loop. This is one that's unclear for us. Look what it says in verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,200 and how many days? 90 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Now this throws all Christians who have studied these last day prophecy scenarios into a great loop. Because we know that the Bible says there's going to be that final 3.5 year period of time known as the Great Tribulation. And we are told specifically in the book of Revelation, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. And we know that the Great Tribulation starts when the Antichrist sets up the abomination of desolation in the temple, and it concludes with the second coming of Christ. 1,260 days, it tells us twice in the book of Revelation. And then here we got 1,290, an extra 30 days, and then 1,335, an extra 45 days, an extra 75 days. What? Well, here's an example where our generation, although we have a very clear understanding, it's going to get clearer yet. There have been great suggestions for this. Some believe that the Antichrist will announce the setting up of the abomination of desolation 30 days before he actually does it. Very possible. Others point out that when Jesus Christ comes again at the end of the Great Tribulation period, the scripture says he will judge the nations, set up a kingdom. Some suggest that that will take the extra 45 days. I can't be totally dogmatic on that. None of us can. Many, many things about last day prophecy is clear for us, but there's still some things that aren't clear. Those who are living in the days of the Great Tribulation, I guarantee you, they'll know what those number of days are all about. But this is the point that I want you to see. This is what I want you to see. As time gets closer to these last days, you can see these prophecies become clearer. They become more understandable. They become sharper. And this is something that excites me because I believe we live in the generation that has at least Blu-ray resolution. For the first time in all of human history, we live in a time where we can see how many of these complex Bible prophecies can be fulfilled now. And to me, that is proof positive that we are living very close to the last days. I want you to think about what we've come to understand in our studying of prophecy in Daniel and other times. You've heard this many times if you've been a part of this church for a long time. You know, this last day scenario, right now we're in the church age. The next thing that's coming is a rapture of the church. Jesus is coming for his church. That's going to be followed by a 7-year tribulation period. The Antichrist comes and rules the world, and just all kinds of horrible things happening right in the middle of the tribulation period. The last 3.5 years begin, the great tribulation period. At the end, we have the second coming of Christ. Then Jesus sets up his literal kingdom on the earth, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's pretty intense what we know. Now, you need to understand that of this scenario has only really, compared to all of church history, recently been known. John Darby, back in 1830, maybe a little under 200 years ago, is the first one who really got this idea of the rapture from the church. I mean, there are other pieces of it that you see in church history, but it was right around 1830 that this idea of the rapture began to pick up steam. A few weeks ago, we studied Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel, a very complex prophecy, and I believe that defines the last day scenario. And I relied heavily on the work of a man by the name of Sir Robert Anderson, who wrote a book about it and seemed to connect all those dots, 1800s. So a lot of this scenario has been something that's been recently defined, learned, understood. Now, there are many critics that say, that's why it can't be trusted. The rapture's heresy. This whole tribulation period thing is heresy. Nobody earlier in church history saw it. The church fathers, they never mentioned it. And since it hasn't been mentioned by the early church fathers, how can it be true? Hey, listen, the Bible itself says that it will become clearer the closer you get to the end. Nobody's added any prophecies to the Bible. Nobody's taken any prophecies away. It's just that in the end days, lots of people will be searching to and fro, frontwards and backwards, studying, looking, and knowledge increases, understanding of it increases. I found a quote by a theologian by the name of Adam Clark. He was a minister in the 1800s. He was studying Daniel chapter 12. Writing in 1825, this is what he said. He said, "We must wait till the time of the end, and this, it appears from the following calculations to me, will not arrive before the 20th century. We see here the reason why the prophecies are at present so imperfectly understood. God has sealed them." That's what he said in the early 1800s. And by his prediction, it would become clearer on into the 20th century. In my opinion, that guy had standard definition. But as we've gotten closer and closer, it's become clearer and clearer. And so I want you to know that. Understand this. Christian, you are living very near the fulfillment of these events. These things are becoming clearer. And speaking of prophecies that can be fulfilled now, you know, just as the image quality on TV got clearer and better with the advancement of technology, I believe with the advancement of technology, many of the prophecies that we see in the scripture can now be fulfilled, prophecies that people never had a clue of how they could be fulfilled just 100 years ago. The Bible says that, yes, in fact, this tribulation period is coming. The Antichrist will rule. A world leader ruling the world, the government, the economy, religion, military. And if you read the prophecies, you know that this guy will have very strict control on people's lives all over the globe. In fact, he'll be able to track. For years, many people thought, where does he get this power? How can he do that? And yet now we know we have technology that allows for that. Prophecies written in the first century AD by John the Apostle in the book of Revelation, speaking how there is coming a day when nobody will be able to buy or sell, no transaction without a mark on your hand or on your forehead. And for thousands of years, everybody went, huh? And they said, that's all symbolic. Oh, that's figurative. We live in a day and age where we see right now how that will be possible. This last week, Apple announced this thing called Apple Pay. I don't know if you heard about it, but now you can just wave your phone in front of a box and it will debit your account. You can also do it with your new watch. Your new watch. And that's only, about 2.5 inches away from your hand? Do you understand that for years, people looked at that and thought, how is that possible? And we live in the day of technology that makes things like that possible. It's just a matter of time. It has been fine-tuned. The Bible says that in the last days, there are events that will take place on the planet that every single person on the planet will be able to view at the same time live. Can we do that already? A 100 years ago, people thought, what? The Bible says that in the last days, and I love this sign, the gospel message is going to be preached to the ends of the globe. I think that's happening in our generation like never before. We're beaming in simulcast. We can do this all across the world with the internet and with all that's happening and with missionaries that are going out and with mass transportation. Think about how quickly you can get to any place on the face of the earth and preach the gospel. Jesus told us in Matthew 24 that there will be many wars and rumors of wars. And that was that's what's emphasize the rumors of war. Everyone talking about war and rumors of war. Look at what we hear on TV. Look at what we see in social media. For me, the biggest piece to the puzzle landed on May 14th, 1948. When after close to 2,000 years and more, the nation of Israel became an official state again, living in the land of Israel. Do you understand? There are hundreds of prophecies in the last days speaking of a land, a nation of Israel back in the land, and a nation of Israel back in their homeland surrounded by nations that don't like them. Is that true? Hundreds. So before 1948, all of these prophecies, huh? People scratched their head. What? I believe we're very close. Jesus said something interesting in Luke chapter 21 after he had told his disciples about some of the signs that would come in the last days. He said, listen, guys, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. I think these things have begun to happen. I'm looking up. Are you ready for Christ? I think it's important that we understand the days in which we live because that gives us a sense of urgency. Now, I believe as Christians, we should always live with a sense of urgency. I believe every Christian living in every generation should live with a sense of urgency because you only got one life to live. And it's very short compared to all of eternity. And the scripture says what you do here will impact rewards there. And you can spend your life on a bunch of, you could waste your life as a Christian, or you can use your life for the glory of God. Seeking the Lord every day with your life, seeking to be a witness, seeking to share, seeking to be salt and light in your school, in your business, in your community, in your world. But I'll tell you what, when I read things like this and when I study prophecy, I get a real urgency. Man, it ain't much time. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, time is running out. Time is running out. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. He's coming again and he's going to clean up the mess. But you need to be on his side when he comes again. Amen? Otherwise, you're going to be part of the mess that he cleans up. Let him clean up your life now. All will become clear. Now, I also want you to know that a lot more is going to become clear for us as Christians than just prophecy. There's a whole lot. As a Christian, listen, be encouraged. Everything's going to become clear one day to you. Everything. In fact, I am reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, Christian, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Listen, we're going to see a whole lot clearer in the future. I don't know about you, and maybe I'll probably even forget the questions that I had, but I do have a lot of questions that I want to ask God. Anybody? There are lots of things that have happened in my life that I haven't been able to understand. There are things that have happened in the lives of people that I love that I have not been able to understand. Anybody ever had something happen in your life or in the life of someone else that seemed to make absolutely zero sense? You ever ask God, why did you let that happen to me? Why did this or that happen? And you know, there are many times where something happens in our life and we do get an answer. I know there are several testimonies of Christians who just recently told me how they've lost their job and how it was so scary. And they question, God, how could you let that happen to me? But years later, they could look back and say that was a crucial turning point in their life. Because another door opened, and that was God's way of steering them. So there are times where you get some understanding. But there are times, my friend, and I'm just going to be totally honest with you, where you don't. You don't. And you're sort of left going, whoa. When I was 11 years old, my 7-year-old cousin died of a brain tumor. And I was at his funeral service. About this many people there, most of them 7 years old. And this young boy was the son of a pastor and his family. Years later, I scratch my head. Why? There are some dark questions. There are some things that we experience and we can't figure out. And the Bible says, His ways are not our ways. But listen carefully. The answers are coming. It will be cleared up. We will see one day how everything worked together for our good. Right now we see in a mirror. One say we'll see face to face. And one of my favorite verses in the scripture that I have hung on to in times where I didn't understand, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." There are going to be things that happen in your life, even as a Christian, that you will not understand, and they will be painful. But the scripture says that somehow, some way, those things are working more glory for you. More. In the next life, those questions will be answered. Hold on. Hold tight. Some of you here this morning are Christians who are sort of paralyzed in your service for Christ precisely because you can't understand something that you think God shouldn't have allowed to happen in your life. Listen. This life is rough. We live in a fallen world, even as Christians. Christ is coming again one day. Heaven's coming. Things will be made clear. That's the other thing that will become really, really clear to us. Heaven. We're going to live it one day. I mean, right now, talk about something that looks fuzzy. Heaven, you read in the Bible, streets of gold, mansions, and we have these pictures of heaven in our mind, but the Bible says very clearly, as it is written, "Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Our view of heaven right now is so limited, but folks, one day we're going to live it. One day you're going to see Jesus face to face. It's going to happen. All will become clear. Amen. And you know, I think that heaven will be the beginning of a whole new journey. Well, we'll just keep learning more and more and more and discovering and growing. We serve an infinite God. I think it'll take Him all of eternity to show His love for us. Do you have that hope? I love this last verse. I love what the angel says to Daniel in verse 13. He says, "But you, Daniel, go your way till the end. For you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." Daniel, I know you don't know everything. I know you can't figure it all out. Listen, go your way, live your life, occupy. And then you're going to die, but he calls it rest. You're going to go to sleep. And at the end, you are going to arise to your inheritance into the golden streets of heaven. What great advice for us. go your way. Live your life. Occupy. I believe the last days, we're living in it. The return of Christ is very soon. You may think so too. Don't use that as an excuse to go put on a white robe and sit on a hilltop somewhere. No, no. Go your way. Get into society. Be salt and light. If the return of Christ is very near, let him find you working for his cause the day he comes. Go your way. Oh, Terry, I got these questions and I can't get them answered. And I'm just, go your way. Get up. The questions will be answered. Follow Christ. The reward's coming. The inheritance is coming. Some of you might have this question. You might think, well, you know, if Daniel wrote these prophecies and it's most important for those that are living in the last days, what benefit did this have to Daniel or to other generations? Well, they just didn't have as clear a picture of it, but they saw in general. And you know what the last day prophecies in general tell us? God wins. And you need to be on his side. I've always loved the story of these two brilliant theological seminary students talking about the book of Revelation. They were in a gymnasium and they were going back and forth about pre-trib, mid-trib, using all of these technical terms. And finally, one of them said to the other, "Who really knows the message of the book of Revelation?" And there was a janitor nearby and he says, "I know the message." They all looked at this guy. "Oh yeah, what's the message?" "Jesus wins. Jesus wins." Have you given your life to Christ? Are you on his side? Are you working for him? Father, thank you for the promises of your word. Lord, I pray for your people here this morning. I pray that we would be those that would allow nothing to hold us back from serving you wholeheartedly in this generation. I pray that we would not be distracted by the things of this world. I pray that we would not allow friendships or relationships or peer pressure to hold us back from following you. I pray that we would not allow bitterness, unanswered questions to hold us back. Lord, we would just trust you with those things we don't understand. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up your people. Make them strong, bold. Right here in El Paso. Across this nation and across this world. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who's not sure that they are on your side. You can be sure right now. You can be absolutely sure right now. You say, well, what do I have to do? You have to receive what Christ has done. God sent his only begotten Son to give his life. And he did that. He died on the cross for your sins. Rose again the third day. Seated in the heavenlies right now, one day to come again. Scripture says if you place your faith in him, if you ask him to be your Savior, if you ask him to come into your heart and wash away all your sins, he will. And you'll become a child in his kingdom, a child in his family, saved, born again by the Holy Spirit, headed for heaven. I invite you. Pray this prayer if you have never done so. Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Wash away all my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Be my Savior. Make me born again. Help me to follow you. Let's stand together. I'm going to have some leaders up here in the front who are here to receive you. If you prayed to receive Christ, I invite you to come forward and share that with one of us that we might help you in your walk with the Lord.